The Miner. It is very early in the morning, and a light drizzle is falling from the leaden skies. I'm dressed as a miner and standing with other miners as we wait for the mine elevator to arrive. In the distance, I see the black silhouette of the factory with its blast furnaces glowing. The chimneys belch fire, and smoke rises in thick columns. Above the slow and distant rhythm of the machinery, I hear a shrill siren that marks the change of shift. I see the elevator coming up slowly. With a heavy shudder, it stops at my feet, and we move forward until we're standing inside on the metal floor. The gate slides shut, and amid the murmur of voices, we begin going down. In the dim light of the elevator, I can see the rocky wall passing by very close to me. As we descend, the air grows warmer and turns quite stale. We stop at a tunnel, and most of the miners get out here. When the gate closes again, only 4 or 5 of us are left. We continue to descend until we stop at another tunnel where the rest of the miners get off the elevator. I continue going down alone. Finally, with a crash, the elevator comes to a stop. I pull open the gate and step off, entering a dimly lit tunnel. I can hear the noise of the elevator as it goes back up. Ahead, I see a mining car that runs on tracks. I climb in, start the motor, and begin moving slowly through the tunnel. I stop the car at the end of the tracks. Climbing out, I switch on the light on my helmet and begin to unload the tools. As I listen to the distant echoes of hydraulic drills and jackhammers, suddenly I hear a faint, stifled human cry. I realize that someone is trapped. Quickly I seize a pick and sling a coil of rope over my shoulder. Abandoning the rest of the tools, I advance resolutely through the tunnel. As the tunnel narrows, I leave the electric lights far behind, and now have only the light on my helmet to guide me. from time to time, I stop to listen for the direction of the cry. Nearing the end of the tunnel, I must walk hunched over. Just ahead, in a recent excavation, the tunnel comes to an end. Some loose debris tells me there has been a cave-in. Water trickles down around the rocks and broken wooden beams. The floor is a quagmire, and my boots sink into the sticky mud. Using my pick, I begin to clear away the rocks. Soon, I uncover a narrow hole going into the wall. While I'm trying to figure out how I can possibly squeeze into it, I distinctly hear the cries. The trapped miner must be very near. Wedging the handle of the pick between two large rocks, I tie one end of the rope to it. Passing the other end of the rope around my waist, I fasten it securely with a buckle. With great difficulty, I manage to wriggle head first into the tight opening. Dragging myself forward on my elbows, I crawl slowly down the steep incline. By the light on my helmet, I can see that the passage narrows until it closes off. The heat and humidity are so stifling that I can hardly breathe. Thick mud flows down around my feet, slowly covering my legs and oozing stickily under my chest. I realize that this narrow hole will soon be completely filled with mud. I press upward, but my back hits solid rock. I try backing up, but it's now impossible. Again, I hear the plaintive voice very close by. Suddenly, I yell at the top of my lungs as the floor gives way beneath me, dragging me down in its collapse. I plunge downward until a sharp jerk on the rope at my waist abruptly breaks my fall. I'm left dangling absurdly at the end of the rope, like some muddy pendulum. My fall has been stopped just above a carpeted floor, and I see before me an elegant room flooded with light. I glimpse some sort of laboratory filled with enormous bookshelves. But my predicament is so pressing that I'm completely absorbed in trying to free myself. With my left hand, I grasp the taut rope above. With my right hand, I release the buckle fastening the rope around my waist and tumble softly onto the carpet. "What manners, my friend, what manners?" says a high-pitched voice behind me. I spin around and stop short. Standing before me is a little man, scarcely taller than my knee. Except for his slightly pointed ears, he could be described as very well proportioned. He is dressed in bright colors, yet in the unmistakable style of a miner. I feel at once ridiculous and dismayed when he offers me a glass of punch. It's quite refreshing, however, so I drink it straight down. Now, the little man cups his hands before his mouth and makes the plaintive cry I recognize so well. On hearing it, I'm outraged and demand to know just what he means by tricking me this way. To my bewilderment, he replies that thanks to this experience, in the future, my digestion will be much improved. This extraordinary little character goes on to explain to me how the rope squeezing my waist and stomach during my fall has done me a world of good, as did the journey I made through the tunnel crawling on my elbows. He concludes his strange remarks by asking me whether the expression, "You are in the bowels of the earth," means anything to me. I answer that this is just a figure of speech. But the little man assures me that in this case it holds a great truth. Then he adds, "You are in your own bowels. When something goes wrong in their viscera, people can think all kinds of crazy thoughts. In turn, these negative thoughts can harm their internal organs. So, from now on, you must take good care of yourself in this regard. If you don't, I'll begin walking around, and you'll feel sharp pains and all kinds of internal discomfort. And I have colleagues who are in charge of other parts of your body, like your lungs, your heart, and so on. Having said this, the little man begins walking around on the walls and ceiling. As he does so, I feel twinges of discomfort near my stomach, liver, and kidneys. Afterwards, the little man sprays me from head to toe with a stream of water from a golden hose, thoroughly cleansing me of all the mud. And in an instant, I'm dry. I stretch out on a spacious sofa and begin to relax. Rhythmically, the little man passes a soft brush over my waist and abdomen, producing a remarkable sensation of relaxation in these areas. I realize that when discomfort is relieved in my stomach, liver, and kidneys, my ideas and feelings change for the better. Rising toward the surface of the earth.